time for another edition of Why Are You Awake? Paul Farvar here, your host. This week we have comedian Rena Kalm. Fun episode. Make sure you follow her on social media and also follow me. Subscribe to this. If you're listening to this, go over to the YouTube page. Also subscribe there. You can watch us live at youtube.com/PaulFComedy. Go to my website, paulfcomedy.com, for all my upcoming dates. And don't forget to check out our sponsors.
Hey, gang. As some of you know, I used to be a practicing lawyer in Chicago. I no longer practice, but from time to time, I need a lawyer. And when I need a lawyer, I call my friend Scott Shapiro. Scott Shapiro has been practicing law for over 25 years in Chicago. He does it all, from workers' compensation to personal injury, employment issues, and even entertainment law and contract needs. If you need a lawyer, call my friend Scott. 312-648-8800. That's 312-648-8800. Or you can email him at scott@scottshapirolegal.com. Tell him I sent you.
Ready?
Yeah, I was fake clapping.
Sorry. Get your shit together.
I'm not usually up this late.
Well, there's the intro that we're going to start with. Welcome to Why Are You Awake? I'm Paul Farvar. This week we have one of my favorite comedians and I think brother or sister in comedy.
Yeah.
Started the same.
I'm more of your brother, I would say.
Rena Kalm.
Hi. Woo. Give it up for my sister, Paul.
What do you call that? Sibling in comedy?
Yeah, rival.
I wouldn't say rival.
I'm just kidding. Friend, classmate, peer.
In my class. Yeah, yeah. There was a word I was thinking of, but I can't think of it now. God damn it.
Cohort.
I started in April of 2011.
You were on the list, and we used
to. I still have. Yeah, yeah.
My first open mic at Will's, which is still going, the Three Dead Moose on Sundays. Will's Northwoods Inn. It's now hosted by Joe Fernandez, friend of
the show.
We'll
edit all this out.
Yeah, anyway.
They're not a sponsor.
It's a great podcast. This is a great podcast. This is a good video. And we started within weeks of each other. I started comedy hosting that mic, and you were there within the first month. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think I saw you at Second City the next week. You're like, hey, and you were so nice. I'm like, oh my God, someone's like nice in comedy.
Oh my
God. Everyone else was dicks.
I'm really glad I put in a lot of hours being nice and genuinely excited at the beginning to make up for what I lack now.
It paid off being nice, as Conan O'Brien and Mr. Rogers say right behind you.
Yeah. I want to ask your viewers.
We have callers in right now. Grab the phone.
I just want to. Hello. I just want to ask if you guys think that, like, where we had Mr. Rogers growing up, but obviously not for the rest of our lives, I feel like Tim Gunn kind of is our adult Mr. Rogers from Project Runway. Are you a Project Runway fan?
No, I don't even. I didn't even know who he was until
this
I know who he is.
Long show.
Put the mic close to facing you. So, all right, there you get the good spot.
Make it work.
I don't think I've ever watched an episode of that show.
Well, what do you like?
I like Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law.
I don't watch a lot of stuff ever since I started comedy.
So starting comedy, we started literally the same month of each other. Yeah. My first stand-up set, I believe first or second, was at Three Dead Mouse.
Mm-hmm. And then we had like sister-brother open mics for a while.
Yeah, yours
was on Monday.
Sunday, ours was Monday. Mm-hmm. 2.5 Persians.
That was like the strip for a while on Mondays. You could do 5 open mics just off of Belmont.
I wouldn't
there.
Let other people do other mics. I'm like, if you do ours, you got to stay.
Yeah. No, I never did. I never...
Yeah, you were nice.
I never did multiples.
But we wanted to keep it busy. We had like real people. Your show had real people too, like non-comedians in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like.
You know, because when I started, I cared about promoting it. And like, I just about like getting, that was my thing, getting people to the show. And like, I would make food. I would like.
You did.
Yeah.
And
I would
give
lasagna
shots.
They're still free shots.
Okay.
But after a while, you learn that like nothing kind of like ruins an open mic, like an audience. like you just need the place to bomb, and you know what I mean? You need like people listening for that to happen. But sometimes you just, you have that Sunday night fun audience that's there after the football game and they're just drunk and disruptive. And it's like, okay, like we're just here to practice and not with you.
I remember when I did the first open mic, I invited all these people to come see me. So I had brought like all the, I brought like 7 or 8 people.
That's probably why I was nice to you.
Yeah. But you guys like kept bumping me because you knew as I would do the same thing. As soon as I went up, a lot of those people would have left.
That's so crappy and true. And
but
like,
we had to do it. You had to do it.
I think
it would
about
suck for the person after me.
How we used to have like a list of like 60 people sometimes, you know,
really?
And like, yeah. And it still gets up there. Joe really brought it back to life. But like on those nights, I remember there would be somebody we really like that comes through the room and we'd be like, I still can't believe we did this to our friends. Be like, do you want to be our super secret headliner and make them wait till the end so that we could be like, we got a super secret headliner coming up. And then after 20 more comics,
like bigger comedians. You
yeah.
Mean? Oh, wow. That's funny. And
yeah.
They would wait.
Usually not, but like sometimes, and even just to be asked is kind of like, it's not the gift you think it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I also didn't take the lead on making those choices. Like
David Drake,
who is like started the room with me. Had
yeah.
Been doing
he was
stand-up.
Great.
Yeah. He
was still so nice
is.
Too. Yeah. So I just remember like when he laughed, it was like, I felt like, okay, there's something there. If the crowd didn't laugh, but he kind of laughed, I was like, all right, there's something. Because I don't think he'd give me a free laugh.
No, he wouldn't. But also I would, because as
yeah,
somebody pointed out when I like left the mic, that I always put in a friendly laugh. And then they said, I don't know if she's just supportive or high and kind. And it's like, yeah, I'm just high and kind. Because sometimes it sounds like the cadence of a joke. And then I would laugh out loud to support and then hear it afterwards and be like, oh, no, that's terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there's certain people that at shows now, even they laugh at the wrong parts and you're like, oh, it fucks up your whole rhythm too.
For
as
sure.
A comedian. So
when,
you did that.
Well, when I worked at Second City, because I was like I was waitressing there when I was 21, and like my favorite, funniest moments were the things that were off script and just like random looks that the cast were giving each other, just because like I'd see them every night. So I was familiar with when it was like an inside
yeah.
joke moment. And I got asked by the managers at Second City to stop laughing when it's not the laugh part, which
really?
Is such a funny thing to be told in a comedy theater, you
yeah.
know? But they were right, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
It's so funny to like start a laugh or start a clap or start, you know what I mean? Like,
well, there's shows that I do, you know, you get on, you do shows and then someone laughs, they are on the spectrum or whatever it is. They just don't know when to laugh, or they're delayed laughing when most people laugh. Do you ever, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the
I
best way to say
it. I love a weird laugh. Like
right.
I love like a weird, like nonsensical laugh. That's my favorite.
You'll see it at a show sometimes where you notice it during your set, especially during a long set. You're like, oh, okay, this person is just slow or they're drunk or whatever. You don't want to address it because then that's going to fuck up your rhythm and
mm-hmm.
whatever. I don't know.
Sometimes I'll address it. Sometimes we all have a good laugh if we make fun of it the right way.
Right.
You know what
if
I mean?
If you make fun of it the right way is key.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't address any noise from the audience unless it's like exceptionally funny and worth sharing, or unless everybody is experiencing it, because I feel like there's nothing worse to do to a crowded room than to like
agreed.
Distract them with some weird chatter.
100% agree with that.
Even if it's bothering you, they might be completely oblivious.
Only
them.
Time I address like someone that's talking too loud is if I see someone in the audience stare at them.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
It's like, I don't actually have...
Because they don't hear. No one can hear the shit that you're hearing in the front.
Yeah, and I'm not a big crowd work comic in general. I have jokes that I worked really hard on that I would love to, you know.
I mean, how hard?
Well, like, I've tried. sometimes I've even written them down.
Let's talk. So
my comedy notes seem like I am ridiculous. Like I do like talk to text when I'm driving and stuff, and talk to text is horrible. So it's all typos and me trying to go back and figure out what did I say?
Really? I would think that you have like a very, you don't have an accent or anything. I would think that your talk to type is pretty good.
It's horrible.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It's gotten worse too. Maybe it's through the car speakers. It gets warbled or something, but
I love making fun. Our friend Jeannie Dugan, when she does talk to text, because she has a Southside Chicago accent.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I could tell when she's doing it. I'm like, even your fucking phone can't understand
she
you.
Dictates a note and it just, she looks and it's a picture of a hot dog. It's like, what?
with no ketchup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
the
she's
hell? Yeah. It's just a lawn chair.
I would think
that
yours would be good. Yeah. These are all Chicago references.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at two.
Yeah.
Rule of threes. Yeah. It's
a third.
Carjacking.
Hey, that happens everywhere. You know what I will say in defense of Chicago when it comes up in like certain people, the first response they have outside.
Fucking thing.
Everything they say is like, oh, the gun violence is such a problem. And it's like, you know what? I've been around the country. At least it's considered a problem here because people are shooting each other everywhere. And at least it's like
different problems in other places. Ours is different. The funny thing is on the road, and you're on the road more than I am. And
like in West Texas, people are shooting and stabbing each other left and right. And it's just, just a thing. Yeah.
But the thing is, in Chicago, what I do hate about it is after shows, especially in like southern states, especially during or right after COVID, the only question people ask about in Chicago was when Lori Lightfoot was mayor, like, what do you think of Lori? I'm like, you watch Fox News because that's all they fucking talked about. And she did suck, but.
And I agree with everything they say on Fox News, but.
And I agree with everything. I mean, let's be honest. It's not bad until like, you know, no.
No.
Before that, the things that people talk about Chicago when we weren't so alienated was Michael Jordan, the Cubs, like happy things. And now it's like, that's what we're known for, which is fine because I'm like, cool, don't come to my city.
Right. But also it's like, yeah, well, the guns are probably coming from Indiana. You know what I mean? Like it's 45 minutes away. So anyway,
I forgot to give a shout out to your merch.
We can plug it.
Don't talk to me until I've had my orgasm.
You can read it on this Night Owl show.
Rena Calm.
We just did coffee. Public radio and we didn't know if we could say orgasm.
Orgasm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you said it's a liquid that comes out of your body. And I was like, that's even worse.
Exactly. I said it holds any liquid, the cup.
I'm not going to say what it is, but it's a liquid that comes out of a vagina.
That's not at all what I said.
You're like, it's a liquid that comes out from right. If you saw, you're on radio, but I'm pointing at my vagina. That's what you said.
But then I didn't want anybody to get grossed out. So I was like, not squirt.
But not squirting. And it usually is accomplished with a finger.
All right.
Or a, all right.
You don't know how I get mine.
I heard.
Okay. Oh, burning the midnight oil, Paul. Look at us.
Just a couple veterans of the game. So you started going on the road pretty early on. I think that before a lot of us other bozos did, like you decided.
It's almost like I went in without a plan.
No, you were like pretty fucking organized. At least on paper, you seem like you were.
Well, I will say that I agree with you, and I'm not going to pretend that, like a.
Speaking of crime, that's
what are
a siren going off. I'm sure it's.
What are we in Oklahoma in 2019 when I got arrested for marijuana?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I was your lawyer, or you called me, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
No, but actually a fan who was a lawyer helped me get connected to an attorney in Austin.
A real one.
And like comedy, like really saved my butt during all that. But
yeah, you got shafted on that.
Yeah. Also my fault. My biggest lesson of that whole thing was never tell the truth to the police. Whoops. don't do that. I thought, anyway, but.
You should have known that already.
No, when I went on the road, like. It was all practical based as far as like, I can't afford travel. And I had these like family commitments where I was like, well, if I'm going to drive all the way to Austin or Boston or anything that rhymes, with those two, I will plan stops.
What's the third one?
Lost in translation.
Not a city.
I just planned enough trips on the way that like enough tour dates that I could make a little money and recoup my expenses from traveling and stuff like that.
So you weren't even doing it for comedy. You're just doing it for family obligations.
Right. But then
so
once I realized I could do it, I decided to be like, well, okay, enough of this family obligation that like, where do I want to go for comedy? And so then I just kind of started planning excursions, like little loops back and forth to go to like Atlanta and Denver and Portland and things like Portland was the big one. Is it so far? But that was kind of like a pivoting thing for me. Once I got all the way to, Portland in 2018, I was on the road for like 2 months for that haul. And I knew then that I was gonna leave Chicago and like keep doing it. Like I was getting offered gigs that were like too much money to say no to for where I was at in comedy, but also not enough to like make sense of keeping an apartment anymore in Chicago. Like, so
for those people that don't know, you converted your vehicle into like something where you could sleep into.
Well, it's all been a series of,
did a how to on online actually.
Actually, right after I got arrested is I was in a relationship at the time with a guy who was on the road for his job a lot too. So we were staying in a lot of hotels and planning around that. And then that relationship ended because he didn't want to date a criminal.
Another criminal. He was a criminal himself.
Absolutely.
That's what you didn't mention that part?
Yeah.
He was the supplier of the drugs that you got busted with.
Oh, usually the other way around. But anyway, the Prius conversion happened after that because I was kind of like, I don't know what to do. So I converted my Prius and then that got totaled in 2022. And so I quickly got a minivan in Texas and converted that into the van that I have now. And it probably in 2018 was when I like was on the East Coast or planning a trip to the East Coast where all the states are so close together. And I just counted how many I'd done. I was like, oh, dang, it's already like 30 something.
That's incredible.
But like, what else we got, you know, like, and so I just made this. I really believe I can do anything I set my mind to, and I believe you can too, that I set my mind to about you. I decided to do all 50 states, and like, I really thought I was going to give up on that around 2020-ish. There was a lot.
Something was going on in the world, yeah.
I couldn't get unemployment because of all the places I worked. I mean, I got through 2020 in a different version of survival mode than a lot of people like really realize, and other stuff too besides that, and my personal like family stuff. And sure. So financially, mentally got through that, and like I'm amazed that I picked up and did the last 5 states and got that done. And even when my Prius got totaled,
you got Hawaii was,
like,
too?
Hawaii I did this year, but like
hell yeah.
My Prius got totaled when I was like on my way to Alaska. I flew to Alaska without having a car here and knowing what was going to happen when I got back. Yeah. So yeah.
What was the last state?
Hawaii. What? No, Hawaii was 49. Washington was actually, which is weird because I've been there a bunch.
Yeah.
My family lived in Seattle for a while, but I had never done comedy there. So now I can say too, with like the timing of it,
that's
I've
crazy.
Headlined
awesome.
In every state except for, I think Vermont. No, maybe. And I think I did close at the show in Vermont, but definitely New Jersey I haven't headlined in. And
who has?
South Carolina and Utah.
What was your favorite city?
I don't know.
Okay. That's hard to say.
They're all cool and they suck. Yeah. Everywhere is cool and it sucks.
Everyone has every... In my opinion, there are certain cities that are super fun for the show,
mm-hmm.
but the minute you get off stage, the city sucks.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a Venn diagram where it's very rare that they're both cool. Does that make sense?
I'm open. My favorite shows have a lot of times been in places I never even heard of until I got booked there. Like I did shows in Brookings, South Dakota, where like the shows were I did like an hour and a half.
You were having so much fun.
Yeah, and it was like a fun hour and a half, like very...
I don't think they would understand your puns there.
What are you trying to say about them?
That they're not as educated as a homeschooled woman like yourself.
Don't count out Brookings. The rest of South Dakota is pretty awful. But
what is Brookings known for? is South Dakota
actually,
where the Mount Rushmore is, or is that North
no?
Dakota?
That's South Dakota. Yes, Rapid City, South Dakota is where Mount Rushmore is, which is one of the worst shows I've ever done in my whole entire life. Holy,
the presidents are just staring at you.
I did a show.
They're all looking at different directions.
Well, first of all, I almost fell down the side of Mount Rushmore with my pants down, and that's a whole other story.
Really?
Yeah. I was on the road with. That was like one of my first trips with Jessica Michelle Singleton, who's amazing.
Oh, she's great.
I love her so much. And we were posting both of us like pictures of our butts at random points back
then.
Yeah. And so you better. No. And I had her take one of me standing on this like ledge at Mount Rushmore with my pants down. And I really almost fell and just like, then I had to hold my balance from laughing at how funny that would have been if I fell down Mount Rushmore pantsless.
Comic is injured and hospitalized after taking pants down to moon Abraham Lincoln?
No, it was the other way around. I was snatch mooning him.
Snatch mooning. That's fine.
Speaking of snatch mooning.
So you did all the 50 states.
Oh, but I was going to say, there's people that I feel like have ridden those coattails a little bit now that I was like, you can do this. And now, like, I never heard anybody kind of make that, like, the whole 50 states thing, the idea of that was like, that's a credit that I can achieve due to my own like determination and whatever.
You can't, your goal.
Right. Like there's certain goals in comedy that require a lot of success, timing, you know, other influences, like, you know, or yeah, like, I don't know. It's going to take a time machine for me to get on Conan. You know what I mean? Like
unless
there's
it comes back.
Right. And it's still my dream and I'm not letting
same
that one
me.
Go.
Yeah.
Let's do it together. It's on the other side, okay. Grandpa. It's right next.
No,
oh
right
yeah.
There.
Sorry, your thing looks like the Team Coco logo, so I'm the old one.
I accept
yeah.
your apology.
See, I didn't say sorry, but I
should have.
I am.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Those are the things that are like a little different, but this is one that's
but
like
the book, the album, the special, your things. Like the podcast, anything you can do that's on your own is like yeah, like focus on that. When I was newer, it was like building my act of like 4 minutes to 10 to 20, you know what I mean? You just make goals that are, you can do them on your own.
And I do think you set the tone and set the path for a lot of people to do DIY.
Touring and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think that you might have done it like you created a monster?
Yeah.
I think you did too.
Yeah. Let's
like I saw people doing what you
here.
Did and then I was like, this is all Rena's fault. There
yeah.
are people that shouldn't be doing that.
Let me tell you this, Paul, and let me
between
tell
us
you,
girls.
Between us Goyles.
Our sisters.
Listen, girl.
There's a callback to before.
Yeah, you should have watched earlier. it's weird you just tuned in now. But I have always had a sense, I wouldn't even say I pride myself because sometimes it's an insecurity, I think even, but I've always had a sense that I'm trying to think of different things than other people are already doing in a way that is
outside the box is what they call it in the biz.
Yeah. But in a way that is like more of like an intuitive nature than in like a concerted effort. You know what I mean? Like
no.
If I see something that's already been done, there's nothing about me that's like, oh, I want to do something like that. Like, I don't
you
know.
Come up with stuff on your own. You're,
yeah,
you're
I've
an
always,
original OG.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the ideas that I've had kind of, I don't want to say been copied because they're, go ahead and do the thing I'm mm-hmm. doing. But like, even little dumb things like at the open mic, live tweeting the open mic, a bunch of people started live tweeting their open mics, you know, didn't you guys?
No, we did. We took pictures at them and then people would have their picture at two and a half. It was like a lot of people were like, that was the first time I had a picture of me on stage.
Oh yeah.
And that was Chris's idea actually. He's like, cause then people started tagging themselves and
that's awesome.
It's a great promo.
No, yeah,
but, yeah.
You did do pictures and also like, yeah, it was just like a
and
different
idea. I have an idea,
idea
for my merch was don't talk to me until I've jizzed my pants, which is totally different. Totally different than yours.
No, but with the book, with his, like, I didn't want to just like record an album or make a t-shirt. I wanted to have a physical thing I could sell that nobody else was doing.
Yeah.
So I've always tried to think outside the box. And now that people are doing the 50 states thing, it's like, I don't know what my next
imitation
idea is.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
I feel like I was making tour flyers and like show promo flyers where it was like a picture with a bunch of dates listed before I saw other
oh, yeah.
people doing that.
I did that for sure.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not saying I did it before you, but like I remember.
No, I definitely didn't do it until I saw other people doing it.
Well, I remember thinking to myself, the algorithm even back then was like, if you post about promo,
anything,
any words, any verbiage
it would
in there,
it would fuck you over.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if I put the words on an image? And so I taught myself how to make like before Canva.
But then they figured out how to do that.
Right. But this was before then. And before then I was getting good traction on my promo stuff because I was.
And before that,
like,
people were doing it on calls and they were calling people.
Or
and before that there was
when we had our show, the Hoo-Ha show, like I was really
oh, yeah.
strategic thinking about like I'm gonna organize us this photo shoot and then like don't post the photos, like hold on to them so that we can release them one by one and always have like a new photo that's
oh,
like
yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right. Like so yeah, I mean I'm not saying that people
well, those
copy
are things
my
that,
ideas.
Those
but,
are great things that you provided as someone and everyone in comedy will create something that then grows and people grow from that, which I think is
yeah,
good for comedy.
For sure. I don't claim that
that's
stuff
not,
is mine.
That's not the part I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that saw what you did and like, I can do that too. And maybe,
which is
maybe,
also though, a little bit insulting though. Somebody said to
say,
me like, if
maybe,
she can do it, I can do it. It's like,
right.
Fuck you.
And that's what I was going to say in a nice way. It's like, maybe you can't yet, or maybe
yeah.
you shouldn't yet. And maybe people say that about you. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know. People say that about me. I'm sure they're like, I remember I got a tour opening for this comic.
Yeah.
And then people didn't mean to be rude, but they're like, how did you get that?
It is rude.
It was like, I was like, fuck you. I worked hard and maybe I did get it too early, but I also like, I worked hard. I did the right things. I wasn't like that early.
I mean, I can tell you my first headlining set, I got too early and it also wasn't something I was expecting. I thought I just had a spot that night and then they were like, you're doing 45 and I had to pretend like I could do it.
Yeah.
But I didn't like try to book myself as a headliner until I was confident in the product that I was selling. And
which is a smart way to do it, by the way.
Yeah.
I tell people that all the time. They're like, oh, I'm headlining. I'm like, I've seen your set. Like, you don't have 45 yet.
But also for that fact, I've had a lot of conversations, especially since COVID, with more often men than women in comedy that want advice about how to sell themselves. And I have to like let them know, like, well, you're good at what you do. So when you get on stage, people are going to laugh. So what you're selling is like a guaranteed product that like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think I agree with you to some extent, but here's the problem.
Well, just selling what you're selling with confidence, even if it's like, you shouldn't pitch yourself to stuff you're not qualified for, but like, don't expect people to book you off of like, hey, like, please give me a chance. You should be like, hey, like, I'm doing a good hour and I'd love to.
Here's my set.
Right.
Here's my clip. Yeah, no, I agree with you to that point. But I think now a lot of places are booking based on social media, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I really do care about quality control, and like if anybody thought I was getting XYZ too soon, or how did she get that, or if she could do it, if anybody does think that, I challenge them to try, because I know that the only way I've gotten my foot in any of these doors is by proving myself over and over and over again.
And you,
'cause I don't have followers.
Well, you did something where you'd go to shows and you'd promote yourself and people show up knowing what they're coming to see, right? So then though you've already done it, right? Because you found your people and they found you, so it's a fucking match.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people...
So you don't need this outside thing that a lot of people need.
Well, I think a lot of people also are like weird about putting up promo about themselves, self-promotion, mm-hmm. or feel like it's like, I don't know, like I don't like to promote myself, like it's not
you
just
to.
You, it's a business. You're promoting the venue,
it's
you're promoting
business.
The show,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
promoting the producers, you're it's all eyes on the thing that like...
Yeah, no, I agree. Anytime someone says that, I'm like, well, this isn't the field for you. You're going to have to do that eventually.
Or it's also just like, it's more self-obsessed to not think you're beyond
above
that.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
No,
like
I agree
it's
with
more,
you
need an ego check if you think that your ego is too good for self-promo.
Yeah. I agree with that concept.
These the self-importance of it. You know, it's like, no, we're all slinging, you know, whatever wares we are, orgasm mugs or whatever.
Well, mine's jizzing. It's different than yours.
I'm slinging my jizz buckets out there and people are asking me to sign them and I'm running out of steam.
So you were working. Everything's a fucking pun. Everything.
I don't think that was a pun.
Steam? Stream?
Oh, see, no, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I just meant like the expression running out of steam.
Okay. I'll allow it.
It was a pun.
We'll cut these all out.
It was a pun.
Any pun? It was a pun.
It was mine. It was my pun.
Before you did comedy, were you always working jobs that were at night or were you like... Uh-oh. Oh, that's fine.
Edit this.
No, that's saying in.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Edit this. Sorry, that meant it seemed like it was directed at you, Justin. Of course it's not. It's the viewers.
Were you always doing things at night? Like, were you a night job person? Or did you have, like, morning jobs before? Or were
I've
you
had
night
all
owl?
Schedules, but well, mostly night owl stuff. Mostly night hours.
When did that start? Were you a kid as a night owl, or what happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Conan. Like, I would stay up later
Conan.
Than I was supposed to every night watching Conan. And, like, I wasn't even allowed to watch TV. I had, like, a black and white TV that you had to turn on with a safety pin. And
what?
My mom would be working downstairs, so I'd be, like, right next to it with my face pressed against it, trying to like read lips even sometimes.
Really?
It's like, yeah, like we weren't allowed to watch TV at that time. Anyway, put me on, man. It's like the creepiest story. I stole a TV from our neighbors because we didn't want to buy it at the yard sale. And it was, anyway. But no, like
it's
my
origin
first
story.
I started working when I was 14. I mean, I babysat when I was 11 and I've always had a job since then. And that's a night job. And then... Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chili's, the Outback. I worked at a bunch of restaurants in Chicago. And
could you have done anything where you had to wake up at like 8 o'clock.
Oh yeah, I can do anything I set my mind to. Paul, we talked about this.
Settle down with
no,
this
but I have worked all shifts. Like I worked in a brunch restaurant too, which was a nightmare during comedy, as you have to be there at 6 a.m. and God. I was out all night doing jokes.
Yeah, well, when you're on the road now,
getting drunk. Okay.
are you after your shows? What are you doing when you were on the road? Whether it's 2018, 2020. Are you going back to your apartment? What are you doing? Or your condo?
I'm so glad you asked. I love driving at night.
Same.
Yeah. I love going anywhere when it's empty. Like, yeah. Like I love going places when it's like not busy. Like I love going to, so it used to be, you could always get a Walmart in the middle of the night or something, but they all close at 11 now. Yeah. If everything was open 24 hours, I would be a night customer almost everywhere.
And we've talked about this on this show before, where it's like things are created against people who are the night. Everything is closed.
It's gotten worse for sure.
After
since COVID,
it's gotten way
worse. And there's still a few chains that have 20, like Winco is one of my favorite grocery stores.
Where's that?
I don't really drink anymore. So like for me to walk around a grocery store late at night is like, if I don't have to drive anywhere.
Where is Winco?
They're in Oklahoma and Montana and I don't know, other places.
Right, we're not going to give them any more press. Cut that out.
It's similar to Woodman's in Wisconsin, where it's employee
owned.
You're
naming all these non-sponsors, Rena.
Well,
this isn't helping us.
They're huge grocery stores. And
they have the best prices ever.
They do. They're employee owned and they really do. They're fantastic selection. Incredible variety and price and produce. You could get blueberries for $1.50.
Two for $3 at Winco.
They have a nut butter machine. You can just hit the button and it cranks out fresh
like
nut butter, different nuts. Anyway, but otherwise, because of the, I can't do long distance drives very well anymore, like even medically, which is, a lot of people don't realize that, but I can't really even drive for more than an hour before I had to have a surgery on one of my legs in 2021.
I didn't know that.
I've been diagnosed with a bad leg. That's what they said. I have a bad leg.
Are they going to cut it off?
No, but it's like veins and stuff.
I'll be better if you did.
So
for
I have to take
career.
Pills and yeah. I think it wouldn't have been as good as if I fell down Mount Rushmore pantsless, to be honest.
If you fell off, we could have sued Mount Rushmore and then gotten a free leg.
Yeah. Well, I would have kept my leg in that one. But when I have like, let's say like a 6 hour drive between gigs, I would much rather do at least like 2 hours of that drive at night when I have natural adrenaline from the show.
Right. And I'll always do the night. If they give me a hotel, actually I was in Iowa last week. And they gave me a hotel, but I was like, if I have another show the next day and I have to wake up early, waking up early is the worst for me. I'm like, I might as well just drive now.
Well,
it's
especially if I have a hotel, like you're out of your mind if you think I'm leaving that hotel a minute sooner than checkout time and I'm actually asking for a late checkout.
I always
ask
for a late checkout.
Yeah.
Let's talk about when you were on the road, what time were you going to bed? Let's say you get up.
Well, I was just going to say, you're asking about if I'm on the road, it could mean a lot of things. If I'm in a hotel, I might wake up at 10:30 for an 11 o'clock checkout, which should be illegal. Make it noon and go F yourself.
They'll always give you a noon.
They will. They'll always give you if you ask. But if I'm in the car sleeping, I'm up with the sun because it gets unbearably hot in there. And once I have to like get out and go inside of a Love's Travel Station and like find the bathroom and like, there's no going back to sleep after that.
Are you, there isn't, that's what I was just going to ask. You don't go back to sleep then once you wake up?
Well, I can if I'm like going to stumble to a bathroom in the dark and you know what I mean?
But like, I mean, like, are you able to function? Like today for me is a great example. I went to bed at 6 a.m. I couldn't sleep last night.
Wow.
I had to wake up at 11 and then I just went through, powered through the whole day. But tomorrow I can't function on less than 7 hours of sleep. I did a show before here and I lost my train of thought on stage. It was just like, fucking Mitch McConnelling it for 20 seconds. I'm like, ooh. But if I'll make up for it on the night, like tomorrow I don't have a show. So I'm like, cool, I'm going to sleep in. I don't have to worry about shit.
I'm not great at the retroactive
making
sleep
up.
Probably. I kind of can function however I need to. Like there's been times when I've done full all nighters and then it functioned at ridiculous paces the next day. Like, especially during the van conversion when I was like working through the night to get it done and than driving 10 hours straight. I did like a modification on my car once and I didn't think it would take all night, but it did. And then
what kind of modification are you doing?
I was trying to cut
not the, an engine.
I was trying to cut the mattress in half to make more space in there for myself.
Okay. When you say modification, people are like, oh, she's like, and she's a mechanic.
Well, I've talked about the van build and the car build. So.
Those are all interior stuff. That's like decorating.
Interior.
Stay in your lane.
Well, you have to, I don't know if you know to cut memory foam, you need to get a turkey knife, and that's how to cut memory foam without it getting all jagged and stuff. That's what drag queens use to like shave their...
How do you learn this stuff, YouTube?
Yeah, everything's on YouTube, and to cut that down and then re-sew the
mattress
back together.
Speaking of YouTube, we can find this on
not
YouTube.
No,
go ahead. Sorry, I was just trying to...
You can get one at one of my live shows because they're a pain in the ass to ship, so no.
So you made the modification. It took longer than... That was the...
Yeah, so I stayed
up... The
memory
foam modification?
And then I drove from Wisconsin from Milwaukee to Morgantown, West Virginia... No, Fayetteville, West Virginia, which is about 10 hours, 10
Jesus.
And a half. And I pulled in there right before my show. And like I was doing an hour or whatever, and it was probably like at the 40-minute mark of that hour... that I kind of stopped and I was like, just so you all know, I didn't sleep at all last night and I drove 10 hours straight here, walked out of my car and caught on stage to crush this. I think I'm doing pretty well, right? And then after that, I kind of fell apart.
Applause break and then it just went to shit.
Yeah, no, that was a really fun show though. And I feel like I've really burnt myself out pushing the limits of what I can do out there like that. So
I've made the effort now to like make sure I have one day off a week now to just kind of like... fucking not do a show. Like tomorrow I don't have a show. I'm like, cool. And I didn't have a show last time. I'm like, cool, I can do two nights without a show.
I will say though about the late night thing, about staying up till 6 a.m or what have you, my brain stays very active and I smell plenty of weed that it shouldn't, like it should turn off at some point. Mm-hmm. But my brain stays pretty active, or I can watch shows or whatever. But I've learned about myself, I'm like a parakeet. If you put a blanket over my cage, if I just put like an eye mask on and turn everything off, like
it turns off.
I can go to sleep. I can fall asleep almost anywhere if I'm like, I'm going to sleep now, except like right here, right, like in front of people now,
yeah.
You know? Do you guys want me to try?
Let's do it. That's part of the show. We all sleep next to each other and just talk about our dreams.
Well, hey, on your days off, I have a question for you. Do you go on dates and stuff?
This isn't singles only, Rena.
No, but I have a question because I told you there was something I wanted to share with you.
Oh, is this the portion of the show? I do sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so like we just did the radio together, you know?
We did a radio show
and
together.
And I posted a video from there and somebody I know, one of my friends, commented that she matched with you on Bumble, I think.
Oh.
But then you didn't respond to her message. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But then she goes, that's okay. His hair is too big for me anyway. And it made me laugh so hard because like, I think that's the first time I've heard of like somebody being like, he has too much hair instead of like, you know what
you
I mean?
See my
like,
back. Yeah. That's funny. No, it feels Bumble. I haven't been on Bumble for.
Yeah. It was a while ago, she said,
yeah.
But yeah.
That's funny. Well, shout out to your friend.
Yeah.
This is short for, it gets higher.
It gets extravagant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my hero, Conan O'Brien.
You have really thick, yeah, for sure. Yours has never been like floppish though.
No, I think that's too much. And I put product in it so it doesn't flop.
Yours are kind of like cool guy, like soft spikes. You know what I mean? Like it's not like aggressive, like pointy spikes, but just kind of like, meh. I'm pretty wild out there.
Not 2003 spikes.
Yeah, no, I think your hair looks it's great, like, but I'm going gray now, just like you.
Okay, let's not get into fucking gray hair bullshit.
It looks good on guys.
Don't
instantly
patronize me.
I want to have gray hairs, and like I haven't dyed my hair in a while. I'm growing it out, and I like right now I'm in a real salt and pepper phase, but I kind of look forward to being like silver.
Well, I did an audition for a commercial recently, and then I saw I saw them like put the hair color in, and then they just put G. I was like, G. I was like, oh, gray. I was like, you fucking bitch. I was so mad, but whatever.
I got my driver's license, and underweight they put yikes. Too much
on my driver. I got a warning for speeding in Iowa, and then I got the the citation and I was going to post it. I was like, if you're nice to cops and you're honest, they'll let you out.
That's not true.
I know.
Where were you in Iowa?
Dyersville.
You know where you should go if you ever go to Iowa? I'd just like to plug one of my favorite grocery stores in the whole country. Is the
Winco.
The Bread Garden Market in Iowa City.
Is it 24 hours?
No, I think they tried to get there by 9 and they've closed early before. But they have the best sourdough bread of the world.
Oh. No, but going back to the thing.
I'll take you back to Bread Garden Market. I'm sorry.
The officer put my weight, and I forgot that the weight on my license is like 25 pounds ago. I was like, where'd you get that number? I was
gonna put like,
so yeah, those are outdated.
Well,
things,
they don't ask for your weight in places where they can assume it's too much, like Texas. That's where I had my last ID. They were like, nah.
Are there places, and that's something that I think about too, like when I go to a city, I'm like, I could kind of live here. And the thing that always turns me off is everything closes at 9 in most places, especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
Are there cities that are friendly to like, late night? Surprisingly, obviously, like New York. But
Vegas. I get like surprising.
Vegas is not as much as you would think. No, I was just there during the week. They're pretty shut down early now post-COVID. I mean, there are, if you don't, I don't drink. So it's like, I don't really go out. So I can't go. But if I couldn't get food at like a lot of the places, they're closing early.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, that's been like I get like actually offended if a place calls itself a city, but has restaurants that close around 8 o'clock on a Saturday.
They laughed at me when I was doing the show in Iowa. I'm like, is there places to eat around here? And they're just like, it's 9:30. I was like, well, they don't talk like that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's funny? Because of like this night owl schedule, like it's not funny. It's actually something I don't know if I'll ever be able to fix. I feel like I have disordered eating when it comes to my schedule, just because I kind of do like an intermittent schedule with my eating anyway, where like I've done all kinds of stuff, but basically if I eat a big meal before a show, I can't do that.
I can't eat before
a show.
Yeah.
So like I'll probably start eating, I'll have like coffee and water during the day, and then I'll have like a snack or something to hold me over at like 4 or 5 p.m. and then I have my biggest meal of the day at like 10:30, which is horrible.
Well, it's not. I don't, people say it's bad for you. As long as when you wake up, you don't eat either for a while.
Right.
So like
us
eating at 10 is like people eating at 7, right?
For
sure. If you're staying up late.
But if you can't get food past whatever, 7 p.m.
There aren't options.
So I'll get, it's just like waitressing where like I got so used to being a server and like ordering food and then letting it sit for 7 hours and then like eating it cold and standing in a corner.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how I enjoy myself.
Well, I did a show in Wisconsin and it's like a dinner and a show thing they do. And they're like, you didn't fix yourself a plate. I'm like, can I have it for when I get off stage? And I did an hour, the opener did 30, whatever. By the time it got off stage, and it was like, it was good food because it's Wisconsin, but it was so gross. I was like, oh, popcorn shrimp with heated sauce.
I'm vegan now also, which is something that's happened on the road, just to have like efficient bathroom times.
Possible to find places
to
eat.
It makes you plan ahead though too, like you'll get food at the grocery store before your show or
at
Taco
Winco
Bell. Yeah, Winco's 24 hours
or whatever the fuck.
Bread Garden Market, show some respect. Winco is open 24 hours.
24 hours, a lot of vegan options. Blueberries for $1.50 at Winco.
Well, anyway, he wouldn't be making fun of it if you'd been to Winco, but
I don't think I've been there.
Yeah, I definitely try to get strategic with food planning before the show, otherwise I get cranky.
There are some chains that are open late, like I know like Applebee's and some of those places are surprisingly open later than you would think.
Yeah,
but it's always depressing when you go there.
Yeah, or
11.
If you go to a small town, nightmare happens when you go to the Applebee's and be like, I just want to get some broccoli, and please don't roll your eyes when I say, can you do that without butter, because it seems like a thing you can do.
Oh, they're spitting on that food for sure. They're giving you.
But then
you,
not only are you dealing with the guff,
cup of jizz.
Not only do you have to deal with the guff from the bartender that's like, broccoli, where are you from? But you also have the regulars that are there who went there because that's the only place open in town and they were at your show, and then you have to like talk to people from the show once you're finally done with it, which is like, I love talking to people after the show at the merch table, especially if they're buying stuff. I love that conversation.
But an hour later when you're in your
An hour
own
later
zone.
When I've smoked some weed and I'm just like, you know, this is the end of my day. I just want to,
You just want to enjoy the Winco aisle by yourself.
Yeah.
You don't want to take pictures.
Yeah. So that's, I run the risk of running the risk of like the Applebee's run in is.
Where are the places that you do like to go after that are open late night? Are there places that other than Winco or like the old Walmart 2018?
No, I mean, just like Planet Fitness, I guess, just because I like, you know, I'd also, even if, I don't know.
Do you write late at night? Are you able to write after a show?
I don't write ever.
You just said you do your fucking text to talk thing.
Yeah, I have a very Mitch Hedberg style of writing, which is whenever you think of something funny, write it down, or you have to convince yourself it wasn't that funny. Like if you forget it or whatever.
Or you wake up, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, you write something down, and the next day you're like, what the, I don't get this.
Oh, yeah.
So many times I'm just like, this is so funny, and then it's like, it's not.
If I have to sit down and like force myself to write something, it's usually not the best thing I could write. But if I just like write down when I have an idea, you know.
Interesting.
But I'll definitely like stop a conversation if I have an idea to go jot down something down, you know. Not right now. You're not really inspiring me.
Do you listen to your sets and like watch them and shit or no? Do you record all your sets?
I record all the audio. I record as much of the video as I can. I don't have good equipment for it. The last few years on the road, while I'm proud of what I've accomplished, I've definitely missed a big part of the race to get media out and stuff online and like to be good at TikTok, and you can't edit hours in a hot car, you know, or it's just...
You can at Winco. Winco provides all kinds of electricity and blueberries for $1.50.
It's been really hard to manage the demand of social media while doing all this driving. So I'm trying to figure out, like, I have footage of my van conversion that I would love to make an informative and intelligent and like personable video about van building.
You were ahead of the game when you I remember watching those, and it's like you did it, you sped it up, and people are like watching your thing. Like if you find someone like a good editor or something, can just once you just have them do it.
I mean, I've self-taught a lot of like editing stuff to myself when it comes to like things like that, and that was for the Prius build, because the minivan build is the one I have footage of that I haven't worked with yet, just because even downloading everything from the cloud to edit it is something I haven't really had time to do, you know, but, I'm going to get that done soon. Cause I feel like those van build videos get so many clicks that I could get that monetized, or
there's a whole market of that.
Sure. Yeah. And so many of the people who have videos about things like that are not good at the thing they're telling you about. They're just better at YouTube than someone who's better at the,
those who can't do teach.
Yeah. I mean, like some of the people you watch, especially with the van stuff, are like painfully dumb and just like lacking so much common sense that you're like, wow, if they can do it, just like comedy.
Everyone can do what we do. It's really easy. Just put your mind to it and watch a couple videos of Matt Rife and you'll figure it out.
But like, yeah, I feel like that is an insulting thing when you completely discount the time and years and effort that somebody's put into something.
I think, and then Justin and I were talking about this recently, and a lot of people, there are certain cities you go to, and I think that even if you go, you pop really quick before you've put in the time, put in the hours, eventually when you are faced with the opportunities where you have to show you have an hour, like you'll be exposed, and you know, when you're not doing the show, if you find your market and you don't want to do comedy, stand-up comedy, like in the traditional sense, you don't have to, you'll just build a following. You're great at that stuff and you'll be fine.
Well, going the other route and getting good at it first, let me tell you, a huge mistake, because I feel like there's nothing I could have done worse for my career than focus on just getting good better. At it.
Well, yeah. I read something recently that Jim Gaffigan said before he was big, and he was like, once you just start to just enjoy it and be in the moment, and this is before, like he felt like he was being overlooked all the time over Greg Giraldo, actually. Once you start actually really being in the moment and really enjoying it, shit happens. I'm trying to convince myself that that's real, so we'll see.
No, I think that's true. I mean, it's just also a matter of your perspective of like what success even means, or is at this point in my life, I've done a lot of cool things that I never even imagined. And I would love to see what's next and what's in store as far as comedy goes. But I've also dedicated my life to the pursuit of those things to a degree of like immense discomfort. So at this point in my life, like I think my hour that I'm doing right now, that you can see in Oak Park at the the Comedy Plex.
Oh yeah,
our friends opened a club that I'm really excited to headline.
I just did it last week. It's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, you said.
I'll tell you this: you go to that club, you walk in, and it's like you're at a club in New York in a good way. You're downstairs; it's the basement, low ceilings, lights are on you. It was so much fun.
Sometimes people start a club and you're like, where did this guy come from? And these guys know what they're doing.
Sherman and Mars Timms, yeah. And then you could tell, you walk in there and they were like, so I was like, this is, and I said it on stage too, and I've said it to everyone since I've done that show. I'm like, this is.
He said it to me.
Yeah. Who did? Me?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun club. I think it's great and people should go check it out. Where else? We're out of time by a lot. I'm going to have to edit out all the fucking. I thought we're going to have to edit all your fucking Winco promotions in this thing and the bread company bullshit.
I've been told I'm long wind code.
Oh, dear. Can't force everything into the pun. Where can people find out more about your shows coming up, upcoming, and all your social media stuff?
The best thing
is... And your van videos that are going to come out.
Yeah, there's little previews of there's van stuff already on my Instagram, but that's the best place right now to stay up to date with me is on Instagram at Rena Calm. R-E-E-N-A, calm as in cool off, bitch. Sorry, I don't know why I've never said that in my life and I hated it. Keep calm and do this over.
What the fuck just happened?
I'm sorry.
Don't fuck with Mr. Rogers. Thank you all for joining another fun episode of Why Are You Awake? Thank you, Rena Calm.
I just want to say I'm sorry.
Go to sleep.